Lost in Jersey is meeting the candidates. Welcome to our Montclair Election Special 2024. Introducing Carmel Lachman, running for Counselor at Large.
Thank you so much for joining us on Lost in Jersey. It's nice to meet you.
This is my first podcast ever. I'm a fan of listening to them, but not as an interviewee.
Well, welcome.
Hopefully we make this pretty painless.
I'm excited.
Okay, good.
We reached out to all the council at large candidates, and we wanted to get a little bit of a backstory. What we do with most of our guests is we just want to find out first what your connection is to New Jersey. How are you connected to New Jersey? And then
how did you get here? Are you from here? Just a little bit of background.
Okay. So I was born in England, in London, England. Coincidentally, I was born in Barnet, which is the sister town of Montclair.
Really?
I've had this connection with Montclair from birth.
Wow, that is really wild.
That's amazing, right?
Yeah.
You do know that Montclair has a sister town.
I've heard that. Okay, go ahead.
I have a question about that sister town. How does that happen? How do people...
Okay, I think with England, during the war, so London was being bombed, a lot of parents sent their children out of the country. I believe that children were sent from London to Montclair. At least one child was sent here to keep that child out of harm's way when World War II was going on in Britain and they were being bombed.
Oh, wow.
So my parents immigrated from Ireland to England when they were young and met in England and married and had three kids. My father had traveled around a little bit and he had lived in the United States. With the experience of having three children in London from Irish parents, there was a lot of prejudice against the Irish in England. We don't really focus on that here in America, but there was an awful lot of prejudice.
Yeah.
So he said, well, I would prefer to raise my kids in America. So he decided that they were going to move to America. The other option was they were going to move to Brazil.
That could have been a completely different life.
But my mother put her foot down and said, nope, we're going to America. So that brought us to the United States. We lived in Hoboken. We lived in Jersey City before Hoboken and Jersey City were the shishy places that they are now.
Yeah.
So I guess I would say I pretty much grew up in Jersey City. I went to boarding school in Ireland for a year because I guess I was a wild teenager. And they sent me off to boarding school in Ireland when I was 16.
Wow.
And then when I came back from that would have been my junior year of high school. I was kind of restless, didn't know what I wanted to do, didn't want to go back to St. Dominic's Academy in Jersey City. So we were living in Jersey City then. So I went across the street to St. Peter's College and talked to the dean of admissions. And he said, well, look, you can take this test. It's called a CLEP test, a college level equivalency program test. I took that. I did very well on it. They accepted me without having to complete my senior year, and they gave me 30 credits. So ultimately, I completed college and high school in 6 years. You know,
wow.
It was kind of a wow. It was good
for an economic. That takes a lot of ingenuity and fortitude as a 16-year-old to say, I don't want to do that. Let me try and do this. And
yeah, well, 17 at that point. 17, okay. Yeah. I mean, I was kind of, you know, searching, I guess, for things. And
yeah.
My parents being immigrants, they really didn't know anything about colleges in the United States. And, you know, that's, we all now as helicopter parents, we know exactly how to get your kids into college when they're, you know, two. So, so that was my story.
What happens after you get your college degree?
I joined Prudential Insurance Company in Newark. They had a college level training program. And I would say that I was probably the beneficiary of affirmative action at the time. This would be the 1970s when the affirmative action programs were just, you know, the darling of corporate America. So I was hired into this college trainee program. There were 20 of us. 18 were Ivy educated men. And then there was me, a woman, and another woman from lesser known colleges, let's just say. Yeah. And I think it was probably because, you know, I had a good GPA and a good story, and I don't know why, but
yeah.
So I worked at Prudential and found my niche profession there, which is risk management. And I worked there for 6 years and then went back to school full time. I went for my MBA at NYU. And then I continued to work in corporate America. Bulk of my career was at a mining company, which had its corporate office in New York City. Oh. And then I worked for Ingersoll Rand. They make heavy industrial equipment. I worked for Shearing Plough, which is a pharma company that was ultimately bought by Merck. And then my last job, you'll love this, was at L'Oreal. Everybody loves the fact that I worked for L'Oreal because you get a lot of free products.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Store. But anyway, it was my least favorite job. But
really? Why was it your least favorite job?
You know, the kind of, so I'm in risk management, which involves managing litigation and trying to protect the company from exposure to loss. But you know, basically L'Oreal, you know, people are sticking their eyes with the mascara wand or the hair is the wrong color when they dye it. Mm-hmm. It's not the same kind of risk exposure as a mining company would have or a pharmaceutical company would have. So it's kind of boring, quite honestly. Oh. Anyway, so I was there for a while. And then ultimately I was lucky, fortunate to be able to retire about 8 years ago and have enjoyed civic life, you know, being involved in the planning board. I'm involved in the League of Women Voters. And I like to hike. I do a lot of hiking. My little hiking buddies, we hiked across New Jersey. We started in Jersey City and we hiked over time. We hiked to the Delaware River. That was my thing. Yeah. Yeah. They wrote about us in the Star Ledger at the time because I think we were the only cohesive group to ever walk across New Jersey. It was really fun. It was really fun.
Very interesting. Oh, I'd love to hear more about that. But this interview is about you running for council at large. Right. Okay. You work for the planning board.
I was on the planning board for 8 years. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So for 8 years, you've been working for on the planning board. Are you still on the planning board? I believe you've left the planning board.
No, I didn't leave voluntarily.
Okay. How did that happen?
Well, I would have to say that I was myself and another guy who's Tony Ian Wally. We started at the same time, but this is my reading into it. We were both, we voted against the Lackawanna Plaza plan. And I think the current council was, you know, especially when Peter was on the council, were pushing this redevelopment. So they replaced me and Tony. I would say they were political appointments, but that's just my point of view. They were both on the library board of trustees, mm-hmm. and now they're on the planning board. When I first started on the planning board 8 years ago, there were five people on the board who either were engineers, architects, developers. So they really had some technical people on the board. Over time, there's only one engineer. And then to replace Tony was an engineer, but he's been replaced. So to replace people with that kind of technical knowledge, and you know, being 8 years on the board, you learn a little bit. I'm a pretty fast learner. With people who, one is he's a political guy, a spin doctor, whatever you'd call him, I don't know. And the other is a Macy's brand manager. They have no background in planning or architecture or engineering. It really weakens the planning board as we come to some important applications that we'll be looking at, like Lackawanna Plaza, like 641 Bloomfield Avenue, like Label Street.
Can I just ask probably a dumb question? So if you...
is a dumb question.
Yeah, I'm like, why did you preface that like that?
I don't know.
Ask a dumb question.
So voting no on the recent Lackawanna Plaza versus voting yes, it's confusing to me because it's still in the works and being revamped. So is the no more of... No, I don't agree with what is being proposed at this time, and I want to see some specific changes? Or what does that no mean?
So it wasn't a no. This is what's confusing. This is what people really don't understand. The planning board had a very narrow brief. They had to see if the redevelopment plan as proposed was in line with the master plan.
Okay.
And we had 12 points that we pointed out whether or not it was aligned with the master plan. Everybody on the planning board wants this project done. We just felt there were serious things that needed to be looked at before it should go forward.
Got you.
Everybody wants this development done. Nobody wants to leave, you know,
it just vacant the way it is.
Right, yes. Exactly. And it's not the planning board's fault that that's been going on. It's just the way the process to get this redevelopment plan before the board was also faulty, I believe. I mean, I don't want to go into all the details here.
Why have you decided to run for council at large?
Okay. Well, I ran, you know, I ran 20 years in 2020. Mm-hmm. And I was trounced by Peter Yakubelis, which is fine. I was very eager then. This go round, I'm a little bit more cautious about it. It's just that because I've gone to every council meeting over the last 4 years and see, my God, the amazing drama and vitriol and nastiness that can go on. You know, do you really want to put yourself forward to be treated like that? And maybe you won't be treated like that, but the possibility exists. Mm-hmm. But I was a last minute entry. I had been asked by many people to run with them, but I was happy, you know, doing my own thing at home and stuff. But then I looked and I said, well, look at all the people who are running. Nothing wrong with them at all, but I feel like they don't have the experience. And I felt like, well, at some point you have to step up. And I mm-hmm. said, well, I think I need to step up here and become part of the government if I can, to get things back on a good track. Yeah. And that's the point of like the team that I'm working with. Our whole purpose is to try to do things that change the way things have been going on in the last couple of years that have caused frustration for citizens and made the government somewhat ineffective, I believe.
You know, I think it's important to know, if you are elected, is there a particular issue that you're passionate about that would be one of your first priorities when you get in?
Well, if you, I don't know if you looked at our team's website, the platform we have, which is kind of our good government platform.
Yes.
I guess I was the principal author of all the things that we just think that we need to do. So I think from my point of view, you have to get the government back on track before anything else can really go on. Mm-hmm. And that was something we need to do. We need better communications. That's certainly one thing. We need the council meetings run in a more efficient manner so that people aren't shouting at each other and banging their shoe on the table. I believe, you know, a real issue is going to be our budget and its ability to absorb the cost for doing capital improvements. I think there are many, there are a handful of potential capital improvements that will need to be addressed. Our town hall seems to be falling apart. Clary Anderson Arena, if you've been there, has issues. The police department, they keep saying it's not functional and it's not up to code. So, I mean, those are the three main ones. But I would also say that we have to make sure that our stormwater, our infrastructure is improved, is maintained, because, you know, we've seen that that's been a big
issue. It keeps happening. Yeah. Because
You also put transparency is one of the hallmarks of the team.
Yeah, everybody kind of says transparency.
I know. I was like, that is a very common buzz phrase, but I get why, because a lot of residents feel that
it's hidden. Everything is like
behind. They don't understand. Doors. And what's the closed door and why the midnight sessions, you know?
Right. But one of the things in the platform is, as I mentioned, communications, and the communication things that we feel is that we used to have ward meetings, you know, every quarter or so. The ward representative and either the mayor or councilors at large would come and meet with the public. And to me, why they got rid of those, God knows, because that's when the public would air their problems. You know, they could shout at this ward meeting about what's wrong or advise their counselor, hey, why don't you do this? So, but they're not happening. So people come to the council meeting and are frustrated. And, you know, I believe ward meetings would be helpful. I mean, one thing that Peter did was he had this newsletter that was terrific. It laid out what was going to go on next in the council. I think that was really an improvement. I would like to have people, if they want to subscribe and give us email addresses, we could send them information. But we don't maximize our use of technology, I think. And that's one thing I would like to see. It's not on the platform, but something that I'm interested in.
Okay, so now we'll just switch now to the Q&A. There are just a few. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase some of the questions that are out there.
So it's like one, speed dating?
Kind of. All
right. You're like, pass. No, yeah, I don't want right. to. Okay, so I don't know if this is actually one of the questions, but I do want to ask this because of your prior board planning is about affordable housing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you envision or what do you think is the concern and also the possibilities of having more affordable housing in Montclair?
Yeah, that's a problem all over the country, all over the state. My criticism is that we have really no leadership in that area. Mm-hmm. There are many, many ideas that happen around affordable housing, but we seem to be just not having an overall vision of what we want. One thing that I think I would like to do is have a housing czar, let's call it that, someone who is looking at what goes on in community planning, in the planning department, what the housing commission is doing, what the rent control office is doing. They all operate independently. And I think there needs to be someone who has his finger or her finger around everything that goes on in those particular boards, commissions, departments. One of the other things, and people will hate me for this, I'm going to lose the whole first ward.
Let's hear it.
I believe buildings should take place all over town. I think we have concentrated so much on the Bloomfield Avenue corridor. In my view, it might be saturated at this point. And that's considering that we will be building something on Lackawanna Plaza. Where do we go from there? We're always changing. There's always going to be a need for housing. So we have to have an overall vision, which, as I said, I don't think people have. You want people to be able to live in their houses when they're old, right? Mm-hmm. Like me. You know, stay in your house when you're old. You don't want to have to move. So you have senior issues. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't come up very often, but I'm going to tell you a little secret about senior issues. Mm-hmm. There's a thing in New Jersey, and it's called the senior freeze. And it freezes property taxes for people over a certain age and under a certain income. Mm. And so I know people who've lived in town who are old, and like really old now, who have been subject to that senior freeze for, say, at least 10 years. So whatever taxes they were paying 10 years, property taxes they were paying 10 years ago, they're still paying it. So when the seniors are always talking about, oh, we need this, we need that, no one ever says they're getting a big break there. Some of them. And the income is fairly high to qualify for the senior freeze. But anyway, that's a big secret that nobody talks about.
That's interesting.
Here's one thing. So everybody thinks rent control is a wonderful thing, right? So rent control, that went into play about, I guess it was 2 years ago now. And it kind of arose out of a dispute with large property owners, those people who own the big apartment buildings, and an advocacy group called Tenants Organization of Montclair. There was litigation that went on in order, and I don't want to go into all of it, but to settle it, a rent control ordinance was passed. And this rent control ordinance included rent control on small properties. So you had 2 and 3 family houses that were owned by owners who didn't live in the house. But, you know, they own this 2-family house, 3-family house. And now that house is subject to rent control. So that mm-hmm. if I didn't live in my house would be subject to rent control. And I think that's wrong. I think mm-hmm. the 2 and 3 family property owners are a very different animal than the large commercial real estate investors. I own my home. If I want to move for a year and travel around Europe and have my son live here, and maybe he would like to rent the one of the apartments, then that unit would be subject to rent control. And it would be very hard for me to ask the tenant to leave. You know, so tenants have a lot of rights here. And I grew up in an apartment. I appreciate that. But I think that rent control, like the neighboring towns that we have, it should not apply to 2 and 3 family houses. It's really disrupted a stable sector of the marketplace.
I just want to say something that I've noticed about you is that you do present some hard to swallow truths, right? But it's kind of needed sometimes.
I'm not a panderer. I don't pander.
It's a little tricky for you. Right.
And I'm also pretty blunt, I must admit.
Okay. So as we move on to the final part, we usually ask people what they love about New Jersey, but we figured out that maybe that's not a good question.
Why not? That's a great question. You know, New Jersey is a great state. I mean, as someone who's walked across New Jersey, I've seen a lot of it. There's mountains, there's forests, there's lakes. It's got a natural beauty to it that people don't, you know, you look at the turnpike, and it's like, oh my God, this town, it's ugly and it stinks if you're going by those refineries. Yeah.
It is not representative of the state, the turnpike. No.
And the other thing about it, and this is, I know this is kind of weird, but I'm a risk manager. I'm always thinking about what's the worst that could possibly happen. We don't have earthquakes usually.
We usually.
We don't have earthquakes. We don't have many wildfires. We're not in a tornado alley. So it feels pretty safe to me.
That's a good risk analysis about living in New Jersey.
It's
I like it.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing why you want to, you know, be the council at large of Montclair, New Jersey. And we wish you luck.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a pleasure to be on with you guys. It was a lot of fun.
This podcast is produced by Rachel Martens and Jeanette Avsharian. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We hope you share this pod with your friends and family and let us know what you think. Check out our website at lostinjersey.site. And don't forget to get lost.